Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. For truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let the left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today begins the season of Lent. This Lenten season is about realignment. It's about adjusting our form. It's about shifting our perspective. And each year, we begin this season of Lent with Matthew's Gospel. And in this reading, we heard a very simple and similar formula given three times that kind of illuminates what this shift in perspective looks like during the Lenten season. The formula was, whenever you, some kind of action, do not do like this, but when you, again, some kind of action, do it this way instead. So, to put that into context, whenever you, say, give alms or pray or fast, do not do it like this. Instead, whenever you fast, or whenever you pray, or whenever you give alms, do it this way. You see, in summary, you're doing it one way, and then Jesus offers a way to do it that will bring an abundance of life. And before we dig into these three examples, the prayer, the fasting, and the almsgiving, Jesus set the stage for how we should interpret it by saying, beware of practicing your piety before others in order that they may be seen by them. And before we get too much further, I want to be sure that we understand the essence of the word piety. Now, the Greek word translated as piety here is a word we see throughout Matthew's gospel. And throughout Matthew's gospel, this word is also translated, often translated as righteousness. It's a word that is tightly linked to justice and ethics and following the scriptures. It carries connotations of giving generously to the poor, what we sometimes refer to as that almsgiving. And then by extension, it's about acts of love. And you see, Jesus brought up piety and justice and ethics to help us kind of correct our form, to move us from doing it in one way, that is something that is not life-giving, towards something that brings life for all of creation. And while doing it is important, what the action does is equally as important. It's about the action and the impact. It's about the practice and the process. Now, I can already tell at 10 to 8 Central Time, I'm starting to lose you. It is way too late to be talking about things like this, to be using all these kind of complicated things. I know. So let's take it to an unrelated example. Let's pretend that Jesus is our personal trainer. It's a trainer. Let's pretend that Jesus as this trainer is one who reminds you to drop your shoulders when you're riding on that spin bike, or to straighten your back when you're doing a squat, or to keep your back flat when you're doing those leg raises and laying on the ground. Let's pretend. Now, can your body spin, or can your body do a squat, or can you do leg raises without all of those reminders? Well, sure, you can do that. Now, would your body be better off and your time spent a bit more effectively used if you were using good form, right? You kept your back straight, kept your shoulders down. Yeah, you betcha. Now, anyway, back to tonight's reading from Matthew. Is almsgiving and fasting and prayer possible? Is it possible with poor form, like the hypocrites? Well, yes. All of those things possible. However, is it more impactful to you and to God's vision with kind of a redefined form? Well, heck yeah. So let's get to boot camp this Monday. Boot camp with Jesus. You see, Jesus revealed that far too often our actions are centered on individualism, personal acknowledgments, and the ego. Too often, righteousness is about being praised. Justice is about just being seen. And giving generously is about being acknowledged. We display it in those moments when we virtue signal on social media, or when we go to church just so we can be seen by the pastor or other people. It's wanting our names to be plastered on buildings and projects and being financier of a certain program. It's about the tax break. It's only about making yourself feel good. It's taking religion and making it about what you get. It's taking prayer and turning it into your magic lamp that you can summon the genie that is God out of. It's utilizing fasting only for your health benefits. It's only about, well, all of it is just about you. It's taking these gifts of God and doing the act without the communal impact. And so Jesus is saying, be careful that you don't make it about you. Rather, strive to continue doing things like praying and almsgiving and fasting, but do so in a way that aligns with God's vision. Do it in a way that puts the action and the larger impact into perspective. Do it to build up treasure in the kingdom of heaven, or to put that another way, act in alignment with God's vision for a world of justice and peace and love. Do it here and now. It's not about a far off distant place. Here and now, bringing God's kingdom among us. And all of that looks like taking Jesus's formula seriously. And so maybe it looks like this. Maybe that formula is whenever you fast, do not only do it for the health benefits, but when you fast, do it with a mindfulness of how God provides our needs. Or, how about this one? Whenever you give of your time, money, and talents, do not only do it to feel good or to get that tax break, but when you give of your time and money and talents, do it with a mindfulness that God has given you an abundance so that you can share it with others. Or how about one more? Whenever you pray, do it not to communicate your holiness or to shame others who don't do it like you do it, but when you pray, do it with the knowledge that prayer is God's gift to transform you into alignment with God's vision. You see, this passage that we're looking at today and that smudge of ash that we have on our foreheads gives us a new perspective. It's about confronting our mortality and our ego and our vulnerabilities. And it's about opportunities to partner with God to bring about communal and societal and systematic transformation. It's not about what you gain from it, although that can happen. But rather, it's about how we can transform the world. And you see, that, my friends, is the gift of the Lenten season. It's the gift that Paul wrote about in that second letter to the church in Corinth. It's a reconciliation that has been initiated by God, not by you, by God. It's a shift that reminds us that it's not about us, but instead, it's about our God. It's about a God who desires life for all creation. It's about a God who shows love through the waters of baptism. It's about our God who strengthens us on the journey using bread and wine. Friends, as we move forward, I invite you to join me on this Lenten journey. Walk with me as we realign our values. Listen with me as we adjust our form to bring about God's abundant life. Look with me as we shift our perspective to embrace God's vision for a world that is already overflowing with love and justice and peace.